Today is Shirim Sechta Baba Kama Daf Lamed, and we will begin on the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Amr Aleph on top of the Amid. Says the Mishnah, Shoyfach Mayim B'Rishus Rabim, if somebody spills water in Rishus Rabim, Chuzuk Ban Acher, and somebody hurts himself, slips on water, Chai Ben Niskoi. The person who drops the water, spills the water, is Chai for the damages. We'll explain that in the Gemara in a moment. Says the Mishnah further, Hametznias a koitz versus a chuchis. If somebody puts away thorns or pieces of glass, vagoider es gidroi bekoitzim, or if somebody makes a fence out of thorns, vagedr shenafel rishus rabim, or a fence that fell into rishus rabim. And the Mefarshim say there are two types of circumstances regarding a fence that falls, either that the fence was a weak fence, and you allow that fence to stand, knowing that it's very possibly going to fall and possibly hurt somebody, or it's referring to a situation that you weren't necessarily aware that this fence is weak and may fall, but rather the fence fell, and you should have cleaned it up, but you didn't. And then, v'huskub anachayrim, and people got hurt, chayiv b'niskan, you're responsible. Starts the Gemara, Amar Rav, the Mishnah spoke about a case where the person slipped on the water in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Says the Gemara, it's referring to somebody's clothing that got dirty, ruined because of that slip. Avhu atzmai potter. But if the person himself slipped and hurt himself, then the person who spilled out the water would not be held responsible, because karka oilam hazikasai. As we discussed in the previous year, Rav tells us that the chiyuv of a bar is because of havloi, because the suffocation that one has by falling into a bar, not chavtoi, the clap he gets for falling into the bar. So here too, if somebody slips and hurts himself because he fell on the Rishus HaRabim, that is not something that the person who spilled the water is responsible for. Ask the Gemara, you have here a situation where somebody's water and somebody's and the mud mixed together, and that should be considered my mud, my water that I want to keep. Got this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, according to our Sameach. My water got mixed together with the mud, and it's now my mud, and my mud did damage. And this halacha, that there's a difference, is only on something that I don't own. But if I own, I should always be chayif. Answers the Gemara, mi savrit to loy tamamaya. Our Mishnah is not referring, do you think that the water in our Mishnah turned into mud? The Mishnah is referring to a case, but tamamaya, that the water was really absorbed into the ground. Like Tysus explains, it wasn't completely absorbed. Because it was completely absorbed, nobody would slip. But there isn't enough water that I should consider it my water, that it should be considered my mammon, my property did hezek. Ask the Gemara, v'tarta lamli. We already learned in the previous Mishnah that if somebody slips on water and breaks his pitcher, that he's chayiv for the pitcher, but not chayiv for the person. Why do we need two Mishnahis to teach us the same concept? And as the Pnei Yeshua explains, the question is not on the previous Mishnah, because the previous Mishnah taught us, as we learned in the previous year, the Machloikis, according to Abaya actually, two Machloikis of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda. So it was a very important Mishnah. The question is on this Mishnah, what is this Mishnah teaching us new that we didn't previously know? Ask the Gemara again, V'tatel Amali, why do we need two Mishnayis that seem to be teaching us the same halacha? Answers the Gemara, Chodah b'moysa chama, v'chodah b'moysa gisham. One is for the summer and one is for the winter. The Tanya. Call Elush Amru Paiskin Bibisayim. All of those that the halachas, they could open up their drainage pipes. The Goyfer Merisayim, the Moisacham and Rishus. You can't do that in the summer, because the summer, the streets, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, where it doesn't rain in the summer, are dry. Or the Moisach Gishamim, but in the winter, where it's dirty and rainy anyway, Yeshlam Rishus. You have permission to do that. Even though you have permission to drain the water into the street. In Haziku, if they do damage, Chayov and Lashalim, you're obligated to pay. And as the Nemuka Yosef explains, there's a chiddush in each case. If I would think about the summer, I would think that in the summer, you're not allowed to pour out the water, even if it doesn't do damage. Teaches us the Mishnah that if you poured out water and it didn't do damage, you're all right. And our Mishnah teaches us that I would think that even if you did it, and you did it with permission, and therefore if it did damage, you should not be held responsible. Teaches us our Mishnah, says the Nemuka Yosef, you may have permission to do it, but it's at a risk. The risk is that if somebody, chas v'shalom, hurts themselves or hurts his kelim, you will be held responsible. And as I saw the Pais can point out, this is not so relevant in America, but in Eretz Yisrael, where they do sponger, and they just drain out the water, or people have the water come down from the porch onto the street, this question comes up, if chas v'shalom somebody does that, it's mutter to do, because it's the minigam medina, but if somebody chas v'shalom slips and hurts themselves, they will be held responsible. The Mishnah taught us, hametznias akaitz, if somebody put away thorns. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, when is there an issue if I made a fence out of thorns and somebody hurts themselves? Loishana elamafriach. If I have those thorns sticking out, am tzemtzem loy. If they're in the wall, they're not sticking out, you're not chayiv. My tamapata, why taka? Arav achav reider of ika, l'fisha ein darkness from the adam, l'schachib ksolim. People, when they walk, don't walk rubbing themselves against the wall. So if you walk that way, and there were thorns in the wall, and your suit tore, the person who has such a fence should not be held responsible. So I saw that the Paiskim, the Achronim discuss, the Gemara says, L'fisha ein darkness from the adam. People know not to walk against the fence. They know the fences could rip their suits, their coats. What about the Hamas? The Hamas don't have intellect. They don't have intelligence. So they don't necessarily know you have to be careful. So what would be the deal if a behema walks along a fence and the fence has things sticking out, sharp things sticking out, and it hurts itself? Will you be held responsible or not? So actually, machloikis hapaiskim. Then I saw Rav Zilberstein brings up a very interesting shaila based on this Gemara, which is very common. It's common because it happened to me. What happens if somebody paints a pole? Somebody paints a fence, and he doesn't put up a sign, wet paint. And now you go and you lean against the wall, against the pole, and your suit is ruined. Is the person who put up that, who painted his wall, painted his pole, going to be responsible or not? So he says, if somebody has his house in front of a bus stop, he says, it's very common that everybody supports themselves, the leans against the wall. So you can't say it's ain't darkness b'nei adam l'schachib b'ksalim. It certainly is darkness b'nei adam l'schachib b'ksalim under those circumstances. Walk by that person's house and you'll always see people leaning against his fence. So if he paints his fence without putting up a sign, wet paint, he will be held responsible if somebody ruins their suit. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, hamatzniya kaitza v'zichyosa v'toich kaitza shechaveri. If somebody puts his thorns or pieces of glass in somebody else's wall, or bar bar kosel, and now the owner of the wall comes, the sasa kosloi, and he knocks down his wall, the nafal of Rishus Rabbim, so all these dangerous thorns and glasses fall into Rishus Rabbim, the ziku, and they do damage, chayv hametznia, I who put these items into the wall will be held responsible. Om Rabbi Yochanan, so comments Rabbi Yochanan, lo shana el b'kosel ruwa. When will I be held responsible? If the wall that I put it into was a wall that is a weak wall, where it's very possible that I should have expected that this wall will fall and do damage. However, the Kaisel Bari, I put him into a good wall that I have no reason to believe will fall. Hamatznia Potter, so I put it in Potter, Chai Bal Kaisel. But the one that put up the wall, the one that owns the wall and now is knocking down a good wall, he should have explained to Rishonim that maybe somebody left thorns and piece of glass in the wall, and therefore he will be held responsible if they fall and do damage. There are many qualifications to this halacha mentioned by the Rishonim and the Achronim. One qualification that the Rishonim discuss is what will be the halacha if it's not the owner of the wall who knocks down the fence. It's somebody else, not I who put the thorns in there, nor the owner, just somebody else. So the Muki Yosef says that person is like a kairach a kairah. We're going to learn later in the Masech that if I make a pit, and then you make a pit in the same place, the second person is held responsible. Here too, the second person is held responsible. But in analyzing this Gemara, there's a very, very fundamental debate amongst the Achronim and how to look at it. In the case where there's a weak wall, and I put in glass thorns into that weak wall, and as the Gemara just said, I should have expected that this wall is going to fall, and the glass and the thorns are going to fall into Rishus Rabbim, I'm held responsible. How do we, and not the owner of the wall, how do we view that? Do we view it as it becomes completely my responsibility, and not the responsibility of the owner of the wall? Or do we view it that it, certainly you can't say that he's exempt, he's absolved. He's the owner of the wall, he's the one that knocked down the wall, and he should be held responsible. Just when we have to weigh who has greater responsibility, I, who put the thorns into such a wall, certainly have a higher level of responsibility. What would be the ramifications? Very poshut. Let's say, for whatever reason, the Bezdin can't extract payment from me. I'm not here, I refuse to pay. A guy who you can't collect from, is pshat that the owner of the wall is totally absolved? He has no responsibility here. Or do we view it, his level of responsibility is less than mine, but if I don't pay, he'll have to pay. So actually, in analyzing, the Achronim discussed the Shaila, Chaznish discusses the Shaila. And actually, in analyzing the Shaila, it is indeed a Machloikas Rishonim. Because the Rishonim discussed what would be the din where I put these items in this weak wall, and when the owner of the wall demolishes the wall, he does see these things there. It's not like he didn't see it, wasn't aware of it. As he's demolishing his wall, he sees it. So the Rishonim debate, will he be held responsible? On one hand, he could say, I should have never put them into the wall. On the other hand, you can't say you didn't know. You saw it. It's machlokes Rishonim. Which really is this machlokes. To what, is there any responsibility in the weak wall to the owner? Or, since I put it in a place where I shouldn't have put it, I am absolved.
Why should I be absolved in general? Because I have no permission to put it to the chachila. It's not my wall.
So the Paiskim can say that it was the minig, and it will become more apparent in the Gemara, for people to put these things into walls that were sturdy, because there was no reason not to. It doesn't hurt your wall, and it doesn't hurt your wall, and I have a way to get rid of it. Amar Ravina, Zoysimeris, based on this Gemara, Hamachasa Bar Bedilya Shel Chaveri. I made a bar, and I took your cover, and I use it to cover the bar, and now Bar Bar Deliv Notel Dilya. Now you come and take back your lid, Chai Balabar. I'm responsible, because I should have not taken your lid to cover my bar. Ask the Mapshita. Obviously, what's Rava coming to teach us? What's Ravina coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara. In that case, by the thorns, I didn't know who is the owner of the wall that I could inform him. I could inform him what's going on here. The owner of the wall did not know I put the thorns in here. Perhaps here, you, the owner of the lid, know I took your cover, should come tell me that I did it. Have Lele do it. You shouldn't just take away the lid. Kamash Malon, that you don't even have to tell me. Even though you know I took it, you could just take it, and I'll have to suffer the repercussions if somebody, Chas V'Shalom, gets hurt in the bar. So I saw that the Sma asks a question based on a rush that we mentioned in an earlier shir. The rush in the Tshuvas discusses the following scenario. Let's say I have a barrel or whatever that's very wobbly. So I take a vessel of yours to support my wobbly keli. And now you want your thing back. So says the Rosh, you don't have a right just to take it back. And whatever will happen to my vessel, let it happen. You could take your vessel back, but you have the obligation to replace it with something and not let my thing just fall and break. So ask the Sma, in this Gemara it says, that you could take back your lid, and you're going to leave the bar open, that I should be held responsible. Why here can you take back your lid, and over there, can't you just take away your keli and let my keli fall? So the Sma makes a very interesting distinction. He says, in the case with the keli, when you take away your keli and let my keli fall, it's going to break on the spot. So you have no right to take away your keli and leave my keli to certain damage. Over here, when you take your lid, yes, now there's a situation of a bar, but it isn't for sure that it's going to do damage. It's possible, but it isn't a certain situation of hezek, and therefore the situations are not similar. Says the Gemara, because of what we're learning, they would put their thorns and their pieces of glass, bury them in the ground, make sure that they were buried three tefachim down. Because if I'm taking these things and I want to bury them, I have to bury them so deep that if somebody's plowing the field, it shouldn't interfere with his plowing the field. And that's why we see that the Torah says that by the Mabul, the Balaturim says it went down to three tefachim. So you see, that's the area which is normally plowed and planted. Rav Sheshes, Shad LeBenura. Rav Sheshes would typically burn, put them into the fire. Rava, Shad LeBediglas, would put them down the river. And as the Maral explains, each one of these people wanted to get rid of these mazikim. They just debated what was the best way of getting rid of them. The man dominant said you bury them, so you bury them. The other man dominant says if you bury them, you still have them here, so you should burn them. The other man dominant says burning them has the deficiency that the ash of these mazikim is still here. So another man dominant says just let them go somewhere else. But the other man dominant don't agree with letting them go somewhere else. Maybe we won't have a problem, but where they end up, there'll be a problem. So each one, there was no perfect method, so they debated what was as best you could do. Because of this, says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, high man the boy lemevich sida. If somebody wants to be a chassid, lekaya mila de nezikim. He should do what we're learning in Masechta Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. Rav Amar mila de avis. Amachloikus, what does mila de avis mean? Posh pshat, it means what it says in Perkei Avis. The Chafetz Chaim says mila de avis is that one has a responsibility to examine and learn what his avis, going back to Avram Yitzchak, how they acted, and emulate their ways. Ramalei Mila, the Brachas, others say, to learn Hilchas Brachas. The Gra says, why specifically these three things? He says, because every person has an obligation to be Toiv L'Shemayim, Toiv L'Briyos, and Toiv L'Atzmai. So Toiv L'Shemayim, how do you fulfill? By saying, by doing Brachas. Toiv L'Briyos, Nezikim. And Toiv La'atzmai by doing the Mila de Avis. And the Mefarshim go on to say that's Pshat in the Pasuk. Sumeira is Nezikin. Vasei Toiv is Avos. Bakei Shalom is Brachas. Because like the Gemara says, Le'motza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Bracha Ela Shalom. So I saw that the Sfarim ask that each mandami here proposes a different way of being a chassid. Why shouldn't you do everything? So the Mefarshim explained, of course a Jew has an obligation to follow all of these three things. However, there are different times and different places. A Jew has to see where he lives, the times that he lives in. What does the world need? Is there a problem of Nezikin? So he should excel in Nezikin. There's a problem in Ovis, he should excel in Ovis. There's a problem in Brachas, he should excel in Brachas. Mefarshim ask, Mila de Brachas is a little hard to understand. Mila de Brachas, we're mechuyev to make a bracha. What's that? That's a chassid, that you make a bracha. The halacha requires you to make a bracha. So one pshat that the Pais can suggest is that in Hilchas Brachas, there are shortcuts. If you don't know what bracha to make, you always can make a shahakol. If there's something to eat, and you don't know if you should make a bracha, or what bracha to make, so you always could try to come up with an eitzah, or you just won't eat. Hayman the boy may have a chsida, he should be mekayim mila the brachas, he should not enter into a shayla. If you have a food you don't know what bracha to make, either don't eat, or learn what bracha to make, and just don't rely on a shahakal. Or others say mila the brachas means the way you pronounce a bracha. You have to be very careful to pronounce a bracha properly, enunciate each word separately. In fact, the Gadol B'Yisrael, I once asked the Gadol B'Yisrael, how could a person be zoicha to siyat d'shmaya? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an eitzah. He says, if a person makes brachas, the halacha is supposed to make 100 brachas a day. A person who's careful to make the 100 brachas a day and make them properly, you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu ha-mevarech, you mevarech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yizbarech, it brings down a shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But another pshat mila de brachas, because of this question, goes back to what the Gemara discusses in Masechta de brachas. The Gemara here means mila de brachas, goes back to what we learn in Masechta de brachas. Particularly, the Gemara says in Masechta de brachas, chassidim harishonim hayishon sha'achas koidim atfila. They would, before they daven, they would contemplate for an hour. And interesting, in learning that Gemara, there's an interesting machlokes, Rav Chaim and the Chazon Ish. Rav Chaim says that even though you're supposed to have kavana, you're supposed to know what you're saying when you daven, but we know that Halacha says that if you don't have kavana besides certain places, the first bracha in Shemoneh Esrei, you're mekayim yoytz dechiv tefillah. But if you don't know that you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have that contemplation, you're not mekayim tefillah, you have to daven again. Chazon Ish disagrees. Chazon Ish says if somebody's davening, he obviously recognizes that he's davening, he's standing in front of Hashem. Another pshat, mili de brachas, Mila the Nazikin, is it's the way we talk. Mili, the way we express ourselves. We have to be careful, Mili the Nazikin, not to express ourselves in a way that causes damage to someone else. Mili the others, we should talk, as I said earlier, the way our forefathers spoke. And Mili the Brachas, a Jew should be generous. He should give Brachas when he speaks, not Chas v'Shalom Fakert. Others say, Mili the others, Mili the Brachas, Mili the Nazikin, we should learn these Masechtas. You should learn the Baba Kama, Baba Metzi, Baba Basra. You should learn Perkei Avos. You should learn Brachas. That's Mila the Nazikim. The Kotzke says that vart. And then I saw a Chassidus Shavart from the Satmar Rebbe. He says, sometimes it's decreed, Rachman Otzlan, on a person that he should be subject to Nazikim. He should get sick. He should get a financial loss. Hi man, the Baal Mev Chassidah. If you want to be a chassid and be able to avoid that gezeira, l'kayim mila de nazikim. If instead, if you sit and you learn these mesechtes, so you'll be mekayim and you expose yourself to learning sometimes difficult situations, but you'll be yoitz the gezeira with learning the mesechta instead of it actually happening to you. Says the Mishnah. Hamaitzeh is tivna v'kash l'shus rabim. Tomni takes that straw to l'shus rabim l'zvolim for manure, for fertilizer, vuzak ben acher, and somebody slips on it, chayiv, beniskay. The kala kadim behem, zacha. You, whoever is the first to take it, keeps it. Rishim gamalilayma, kala makakum shos rabim. Anything that could do damage to rabim, viziku, chayav mushalim, the kala kadim behem, zacha. And we'll explain this in Mitzvah in the Gemara. Says the Mishnah further, somebody turns over dung in the Rishus Rabbim, v'huzik ben acher, and somebody else gets hurt, chai ben iskai, the person who put it down is responsible. We discussed this in the previous year already. Says the Gemara, leim masnis like Rabbi Yehuda. Should we suggest that our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda oimer b'shas et soyos volim, in the season where people would take out their manure, or the mitzi zivloi, one may take out the manure, l'shus Rabbim, and he could pile it up for 30 days in order that it should be stamped upon by people and animals walking on it and turn into fertilizer. That was one of the conditions that Yeshua made when he gave Eretz Yisrael, that everybody has a right to do that. It says the Gemara, Filo Tam Rabbi Yehuda. Amish degree following the opinion of Yehuda. Maida Rabbi Yehuda, Shem Hizik, Mishal Mash Hizik. That even though you have a right to put it out, if they do damage, you will be held responsible. And the Rishonim debate, what does this mean? Some say that that was part of Yeshua's Tanai. I'm giving you authorization to put it out, but you should know there are repercussions to that authorization. If it does damage, you'll be held responsible. Others say that Yeshua's Tanai was you have to put it up in a way that it doesn't do damage. He didn't give a blanket approval. Also, the Mefarshim explained, here we're saying that you're allowed to put it out. And then the same Mishnah says, V'kol HaKodim Zocha, that if somebody takes it, he could keep it. If I have a right to put it out, how do you have a right to keep it? So, there's two explanations in the Rishonim. One explanation in the Rishonim is that even though we're learning now in the Gemara that Yeshua said that we could put out the manure, doesn't mean I could leave it out there forever. The authorization is only for 30 days. The Mishnah is teaching us that if I put it out and left it there for longer than 30 days, for Kol Kodem Zocha, you could take it. Or another pshat, based on the Gemara that we just learned, this is the Torah's pshat, yes, I could put it out. But as we just learned in the Gemara, I could put it out, but I don't have a right to let it do damage. Teaches us the Mishnah that if I put it out and it does damage, then anybody who wants could take it. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara Vatanan, we learned in the Mishnah, we're going to learn in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yudai Mebenechar and the Kapotter, that if somebody puts out his Hanukkah candles and they cause a fire, he's Potter, Meneshiv Rishus, because he had every right to put it out. My love, Mishum Rishus Bezdin. So you see, if I'm allowed to do it and it causes damage, I'm completely absolved. Says the Gemara, there it's a special Rishus. Loi Mishum Rishus Mitzvah. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is fulfilled by putting them out outside. In other items, there's no mitzvah that has to specifically be put outside. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ner Chanukah Potter, if somebody puts out his Ner Chanukah and it causes a fire, he's Potter, Meneshe Rishus Mitzvah, he did it because it's a mitzvah. Toshma, says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Kol Elish Emer Matan L'Kak Rishus Rabbi, Im Hiziku, Chayev Im L'Shalim. Rabbi Yehuda Piter. So we see that you're not Chayef, since the Gemara, Omer Rav Nachman, Masnison, our Mishnah is referring to a situation, Shaloi B'Shasa Sa'az Volam, not during the season. Yehudahi, and it's found in the opinion of Yehuda, that holds that not during the season, you're always Chayef. Rav Ashi Omer, Tavnoi, V'Kasha Tanan, our Mishnah is talking about straw and hay, Mishnah Masati, since it's slippery, that you never have a right to put out Mishnah Rabbim, because there's certainly Mazikim. So we learned, Kol HaKodim and Zocha. If you did put them out, whoever takes them, whoever seizes it, may keep it. On Rav, says Rav, Bein Begufon, Bein Bishvachon. They're allowed to keep the actual item that was put out, and the amount that they improved, because they were put outside. In other words, you should not benefit from the fact that they were left outside. B'shama, Shiri Omer, Ziri disagrees. B'shafchon, you're not allowed to keep, you can seize, because we don't want anybody benefiting from this. Avaloi, Gufon, not the actual item. But my Kamifki, what is the basis of the machloikis of Rav and Ziri? Rav Savar, Kansu Gufon, Mishum Shvachon. If we want to make sure that you're not going to have any Shvach, the only way to make sure is by taking the knas, is taking away the guf. The Ziri Sover, even the knas is accomplished just by making a decree on the shvach without talking about the guf. The Ziri Omer, the konsa guf of Mishum Shifchan. Ask the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Tanan, Hoifch Sagol B'Shus Rabim, if somebody's turning over dung in B'Shus Rabim, Vozuk Ban Acher, and somebody else gets hurt, Chayiv B'Niskoi. You're held responsible. V'ilu, kol ha-kodem zocha le'ktani. It doesn't say regarding the dung that anybody could take it. Now, explains Rashi. Unlike manure, that by keeping it out in the Rishus Rabim, it actually gets better, like we learned earlier, by people stepping on it, dung is dung. It isn't getting any better. So says the Gemara. The Gemara wants to say that since dung is only an item that has gufon, doesn't have shafchan, the Mishnah is saying there's no din of kol ha-kodem zocha. So it seems that our Mishnah is teaching us that when is the din of kol ha-kodem zocha applicable? It's only applicable in a case where there is shafchan. By dung, where there is no shafchan, so there's no gzeira. Seems to corroborate Ziri's opinion. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Actually, by dung also, by goel also, the halacha would be kol akoidim zochem. Aye, so why didn't the Mishnah say so? Tan l'reisha ve'udin l'seifa. The Mishnah already said in the reisha that kol akoidim zochem. So says the Gemara, the Mishnah doesn't have to repeat it. What we learned in the reisha, kol akoidim zochem, applies to the seifa too. Says the Gemara, v'tana Allah asur mishim gezel. That if you, I do take the golol that you put out, I'm over gezel, says the Gemara, ki p'tani asur mishim gezel, answers the Gemara, asur mishim gezel is going akulam esnisen, which the Mishnah is teaching us that, again, according to this understanding of the Gemara, whatever was left out in Rishus HaRabim, whoever seizes keeps. So what is asur mishim gezel? Asur mishim gezel, lo'oysa shekodim, v'zocha, which means as follows. And Ramosha and Shlomo Zalman both have the same way of understanding the Gemara. Our Mishnah is teaching us, at least at this point of the Gemara, that whatever is left out in the Rishus HaRabim, kol akoidim zocha, anybody could seize. Now let's say I put it out and you took it. What happens if somebody comes and takes it away from you? Teaches us this braisa, asur mishim gezel, if somebody takes it away from you, he's considered a gazlan. Why would I think that? Of course you're a gazlan. So that's what Ramosha and Shlomo Zalman say. I would think that when is a passable gezel? If it's my item, which is mine, I bought, I created, and you take it away, there it's gezela. But this item that you accomplished, we call it kodem zoch, it's not really yours. You just took advantage because you came to the Daf Yomi Shir, and you know what Allah is, kol kodem zoch. It's not really yours. And therefore, if somebody takes it away from you, maybe he would not be considered a gazlan. Teaches us the braisa. No, the halacha gives you full rights and full ownership over the item that you seized to the degree that if somebody takes it away from you, asur mishim gezel, he's considered a gazlan. Ki tane asur mishim gezel, asur akul mas nisukai. It's going on all the cases of the Mishnah. If you take it away from the person that seized it, you are considered a gazlan. Ask the Gemara for like tani hacha. Our pshat doesn't work. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Hamaitzi tavna b'kash l'shus rabim mizvolim. Somebody puts out these items to turn them into fertilizer. V'uzuk ban acher, and somebody gets damaged. Chayiv b'niskoy. He's chayiv for nezik. L'kala kaidim ban zacha. Whoever seizes it is zaycher. Umitarim mishum gezel. It's not considered gezel. If somebody, whoever takes out gold to Rishus Rabim, there, the Hozak ben Acher, somebody gets hurt, chayiv, the person who put out the gold is chayiv. However, vasa mishum gezel, you're not allowed to take it. So this braisa clearly differentiates between golo and all other items. So while we've been trying to explain that there's no difference between golo and everything else, clearly this Mishnah differentiates between the two. Answers the Gemara. Omer of Nachman Yitzchak, golo karamis. Your question from the beginning doesn't really begin. Dover she'ein b'shvach. Dover she'yesh b'shvach, konsu guf mishim shivchai. When does Rav say, konsu guf mishim shivchai? Where shvach is passable. Kash v'tevin. However, Dovish ain by shvach, something like golol, as we explained earlier, which never gets better. It is what it is. The Rav will agree the loikansu, because the knas is certainly because of shvach. The only question is, if there is shvach, how far does the knas go? Does the knas go on the shvach, or does the knas go even on the guf? But something that doesn't have shvach, everybody agrees, is not subject to the knas. Ask the Gemara, Oibaylu, l'divrei oimer kansu gufa mishim shivchan, that something that does have shvach, not only is the shvach subject to the knas, but even the guf. When does it happen? How does that knas work? Look, al tekansinan, as soon as you put such an item, which could have shvach, into the Rishus Rabbim, yichayiv, or l'chimayis shivcha kansinan. And I saw the achroinim have two different ways of explaining the Gemara. But Shlomo Zalman has a very easy way of explaining the Gemara. We don't want you to leave these items in the Rishus HaRabim. But to leave it out for a small amount of time, nishkeferluk, not terrible. So is that pshat? So if I only leave it out till the amount of time that it gets only a shvach of a prut, it's going to be out for a very short time. That Chazal had no problem with. But the Chazal say, we don't want you to put it out at all. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. Another way, a little more lomdish, the way Rabbeinu Pavarsky explains the Gemara, is once Chazal established a knas, is still the emphasis on the shvach, so you need to have shvach. And until you have at least the prut of shvach, there's no room for the gzeira. Or once Chazal said kansu gufa mishum shvachon, then there's a gzeira equally on the guf and on the shvach, and therefore as soon as you put out the guf, it's subject to the knas that kol hakodem zochel. Toshma, midikarein and golo. Since we're speaking about golo, so it's obvious that it's open to knas immediately, because golo, as we've been saying, never has shvach. Says the Gemara, v'tizbara, does this answer make sense? Ki arid in golo. When were we comparing golo to all the other items mentioned in our Mishnah? Mikama the listener of Nachman. Before Rav Nachman made his distinction between golo, which never gets better, versus the other items which can get better. But once Rav Nachman made this distinction between golo and everything else, Mika Lemirma Golo Klal, you can't bring golo into the equation of answering this question, says the Gemara. Lema Katanoi. So Gemara says perhaps it's the subject of a machlokes tanoim. We all know that the Torah is very strict about collecting interest. So says the Mishnah, shtar shekosu baribus. If somebody did write a shtar with ribus, koin tzinoisoi, the halach is that we make a knas, vein goy v'loyis a keren v'loyis a ribus. That you can't collect neither the keren nor the ribus with the shtar. Divrei Rav Meir. There's a number of interesting machloikas. One machloikas is it worse if it's written in a shtar, or is it worse when it's not written in a shtar? Some Rishonim suggest when it's written in a shtar, so it's obvious that there's ribbis. When it's not written in a shtar, it's not so obvious. Other Rishonim suggest the opposite. When it's not written in the shtar, so somebody could chas v'shalom make a mistake. On the other hand, when it's written to the shtar, everybody realizes that the interest is invalid. Ein agoy v'loyis a keren, very big machloikas Rishonim on that too. Some say ein agoy v'loyis a keren, that we penalize somebody who lent money with interest, that he loses even the keren. Others say they don't lose the keren, especially since the loiver is not a tzaddik either, that he participated in this transaction. Just it doesn't have the din we learned so many times, particularly in Masechta Ksubis, that a loan that's committed to a document is a stronger type of loan. You don't have that advantage, but still he owes the money. The chomaymer goyver is a keren. You only can collect the keren, but you can't collect the ribis. Lema, Rav, the Amak Rav Meir. Rav says that Kansu Gufa Mishim Shvachan will agree with Rav Meir. The Ziri that says you only kindness the Knas, that only kindness the Shvachan, holds like the Rabbonim. So the Taisus asks, how could we even debate the validity of the Shtar? It's a Shtar. For a Shtar to be a valid Shtar, you have to have Edom. Edom who participated in signing a shtar that has in it interest are Pasul Edom. So the shtar is anyway a meaningless shtar. So the Rishonim give, I saw three different answers. One answer, simple answer. The Edom might have known that interest is Osir, but they didn't know that signing a shtar that has an interest clause disqualifies them. Another teretz is that we know that these Edom did this under duress. They were told if you won't sign, you'll be in danger. It's not a mitzvah to put yourself into sekanas nefashos to sign such a shtar. Another teretz, interesting teretz that the Rishonim suggest. If Edom sign a shtar that they weren't supposed to, that it disqualifies them, it's not on that shtar that they become disqualified. They only become disqualified in the future. Then any other shtar that they will sign, they will be pasul Edom. But the first shtar, when they signed it, they weren't yet puzzled, and that star is still a kosher star. Amloch Rav, another Amri afilu rabbanon. My position could be consistent with rabbanon. For at kalle kam rabbanon hasam, where did rabbanon say it? El karen, by the karen, the betera. The karen you certainly owe me. Aval hocha, karen gufa kamazik. Once the karen has the shvach, it also participates in being a mazik, and that's why I say konsu gufan mishim shvachim. The Ziri Amalach, and Ziri on the other hand says, at the end of Amri Afila Rameya, my position could be even consistent with Rameya. For at Kalai Kom Rameya Hosom, when did Rameya say his din by Ribis? The Meshask Suba, Ksiva, as soon as the Shtar was written, David Le Shuma, that was written improperly, the person did an Avera, and therefore he deserves a penalty. Av Hocha, if somebody even put down these items into Shus Rabim, Miyayim the Mazik doesn't mean necessarily that they're going to cause damage. So the Gemara says, Lay Makani Tanai. Maybe the Machloikis Ravim Ziri is this Machloikis. It says, Hamoitzi Tivnoi V Kashal Rishus Rabim Lizvolim. Somebody takes out his straw and his hater Rishus Rabim for fertilizer. Vuzuk Ben Acher, Chai Ben Niskoi, Vakal Kodim Ben Zacha, Vasum Mishim Gezel. Al Mishnah. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Hamakalkim Rishus Rabim. If somebody puts out anything to Rishus Rabim that could cause damage, the Ziku Chayovim Lishalim, the Kol Kodim Ben Zacha, Ben Tar Mishim Gezel. So first the Gemara comments. Hagu Fakasha. First you said, Kol Kodim Ben Zacha, that anybody's allowed to seize it. And then he says, for Hadakamer, Asur Mishim Gezel, that you're not allowed to take it. So how do we understand this? Elalaf must not shout in the Mishnah be Hachkama. The Kol Kodim Ben Zacha, B'shvachon, you could take the shvach, the surim, mishum gezel, but the keren, you're not allowed to take. That's the opinion of the Tanakama, Vosr Shimon Gamliel, Maimer, comes of Shimon Gamliel to say that not only are you allowed to seize the shvach, a filugami, a guf nami, but even the guf nami, kol akadim b'em zocha. So it seems that the machloikis of the Tanakama of Shimon Gamliel and our Mishnah is actually the machloikis of Ziri and Rav, says the Gemara Leziri. Ziri is going to actually have to admit the Vade Tanoihi, that this is a Machlokes Tanoim. L'Rav asked the Gemara, Milema Tanoihi, must Rav also say that it's a Machlokes Tanoim? Amlach Rav, says Rav, no. The Kula Alma, everybody could say that Kansu Gufa Mishim Shvachan, that not only is the Shvach you allowed to seize, but you even allowed to seize the Guf. So what is the machloikis of our Mishnah? For hocha balocha ve'em moirin kamiflagi. The shaila is, even though the halocha is like Rav, says Rav, that you're allowed to take not only the shvach, but you're even allowed to take the keren, that's the halocha, but what is a Rav supposed to tell you? When you go ask the Rav, that I see my neighbor put these items out into the Rishus Rabim, that halachically, certainly I'm allowed to take both, but what should the Rav tell me? Ditma, Rav Huna Amar Rav, Halacha Vein Moirin Kein. That even though halachically I may seize both items, I shouldn't tell anybody. And we're going to learn the Gemara in the following Mahalach. That what does the Rav tell me not to do? The Rav tells me don't take the Karen. But as far as the Shvach, the Rav could tell me. Other Rishonim say, Halacha Vein Moirin Kein, that the Rav shouldn't tell me to take anything. It's not mine, I shouldn't take it. Rav Adabar Havama, Halacha Umayrin Kain. That not only am I allowed to take it, as Rav taught us, but the Rav tells me you're allowed to take it. Has the Gemara, how can we say that Halacha Vein Moirin Kain, that the Rav shouldn't allow me to take it, or he shouldn't suggest that I should take it? Rav Huna Afker Chushli, Rav Huna was Mafker, these peeled barley that somebody left in the street that obviously could be dangerous, somebody could slip on them. Rav Adabar Hava Afkas Kurusa, it's also like the soilus of tomorrow, says the Gemara. Bishlomo Rav Adabar Hava Kishmatze. Rav Adabar Hava is consistent with his opinion. Halacha Meirikain, that the Rav tells you allowed to do it. El Rav Huna that said that the Rav was Mafkarit, Lema Hodabay, that he retracted from his opinion that Halacha Meirikain, says the Gemara Hana Musrun Hava. Even Rav Huna, who says Halacha Ve'em Moirikain, agrees that somebody is a perpetual violator. He's always putting out items into the Rishus HaRabim that people could get hurt by. Their Halacha Moirikain, that the Rav could tell somebody else, you're allowed to seize those items.